The first reading is from Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Sirach 15, 15 to 20. If you choose, you can keep the commandments and act faithfully as a matter of your own choice. He has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. For great is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and sees everything. His eyes are on those who fear him, and he knows every human action. He has not commanded anyone to be wicked, and he has not given anyone permission to sin. Psalm 119, 1 to 8. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready. For you are still of the flesh, for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? Are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Matthew 5, 21 to 37. You have heard it that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift to the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We are richly blessed this morning to have Emily Everhope come bring us the teaching.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning.
In case anyone is wondering, Matthias is also preaching at another church this morning, so that's why he's not here. So we both were wishing we could be two places at once this morning. So the lectionary scriptures for today, and thank you, Jenny, for reading them. It was a lot to listen to, so thank you, guys. They make me sort of grateful to live under the New Testament way, although even some of the New Testament scriptures are really intense today, so it's a little tough passages. The Old Testament scriptures focus a lot on rule following, on life and death, and not messing up. There's also some compelling symbolism and imagery around land, fire, and water. And the gospel message from Matthew is a tough one as well for me. I think probably for others too. But Jesus sets the bar even higher for how we should behave and the lengths we should be willing to go to keep ourselves in line, like getting rid of body parts that make us stumble, and really kind of, I think, harsh rules around marriage and divorce. So I'm not going to talk about that passage this morning, and hope that at some point someone more Enlightened will share about that and illuminate it for us. So I'm going to focus mostly on the 1 Corinthians passage, as this is the most relatable for me and maybe for you all too. It talks about our frailty and limited ability as humans, but our crucial choices and ability to participate in the life process that God is bringing forth. I can relate more to the metaphors here Paul uses of gardening and infants. So I'll focus mostly on this and weave in some themes from the other passages. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul starts out by stating things as they are, calling them people of the flesh rather than spiritual people, as infants in Christ. This makes me look at myself. Am I a person of the flesh or a spiritual person? Which one are you? Probably we're all a mix of both and just leaned more towards one or the other at different times. And we are all human, right? We can't really escape that. But Paul is trying to inspire them to live differently in the world. He refers to himself and the church community as servants. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. He also says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul is quick to put us and himself in our place. He says, sure, I may have planted the church, and some of you may call yourself my followers, but I don't get the credit. Apollos did a lot too, but none of us made the growth inside happen, or the transformation. None of us can take credit for that life. Being 7 months pregnant now, this is a realistic metaphor for me. I know that my body is doing a whole lot to make this baby, and you could even say maybe that I am growing it, or that it is definitely growing inside of me. However, did I give it life? Did I create it? No. That is the mystery that we can't explain, the mystery of life, or the miracle of birth. I can't take credit for it any more than anyone else can. And I'm trying to do my part to feed it, take my prenatal vitamins, be healthy, get lots of sleep, not be stressed, but prepare for the birth and for caring for it afterwards. It feels like a little more work than watering a plant, I'll be honest. But even then, my work isn't really that important, except that it encourages life and allows me to participate in the growth that God is working on. Have you ever planted something from seeds? Anyone? You water it, and at first it looks like nothing is happening, right? And you're like, is it really gonna grow? Will it become the carrot or potato or cucumber that it showed on the seed packet? And then one day you check on it, and there's a little sprout. Maybe you can see that it's growing. But maybe you think, oh, maybe it's just a weed. I'm not really sure. So you keep checking and checking, and eventually you can tell that it's actually the seed that you planted and have been watering and tending to. But still, it feels like how it actually grew is a mystery, right? I think that is what Paul is talking about when he says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth. He goes on to say, the one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. We are supposed to be doing this work of planting, watering, tending to the growth. It is our shared purpose. And God delights in our participation in this process, and we get to delight in it too. We get to experience life by being a part of the growth that God is bringing about. We get to harvest the vegetables, or raise the baby, or maybe it's lots of other things. And I wonder what growth God is doing in our lives right now. What are we currently watering or tending to? So I'd like to open it up, actually, to ask you guys what you see growing around you and what growth you're tending to. And I brought this fern plant and thought that I'll pass around the microphone if anyone's willing to share something that they feel that they are currently watering or watching, waiting to see what might happen and grow, or some growth that life that you're witnessing coming about. And so if you are willing to share, and then maybe as you share, or at the beginning, if you could come up and just water this plant a little bit. Just a little sprinkle of water, maybe, as you share. So I'll start. Mine, I've sort of already shared, but obviously helping to grow a baby. And it's very exciting, very literal interpretation of this passage this morning, but it's an exciting, really beautiful to be a part of new life. So grateful for that. So if anyone else has, I think this is on. Yeah, Lexi.
So in June, I had a conservator and a guardian come meet with me to help a man who was was living in a boarding house with 20 other people, and he had so many complex needs. And so, but it's, I'm fee for service, so we set up an arrangement. And then the very next week, the conservator quit, and then about a few weeks after that, the lawyer quit. So he was kind of left high and dry. But because the D.C. government requires that he have a guardian, he was reassigned, and she was a young lawyer. And we had a monumental task of trying to get him out of this boarding house because he's elderly. And I told her that I would take that on because he really touched me, and I just felt some affinity for him, and I didn't know why. And so just this week, on Tuesday, I'm gonna move him into a beautiful assisted living apartment at Springville Terrace in Silver Spring, which is very hard to get because there's such limited space for people who are not too poor, but also, he's way below middle income. And I couldn't figure out why I love this gentleman so much. And it kind of a spark went off that he reminded me of a man that I knew in college named John Grimes, who was poor and blind and cold. And we had a wood ministry as part of Church of the Savior. And we would deliver wood to his house every week, a load of wood, and he would put it into his, completely blind, put it into his wood stove. And he was always covered with soot, and his house was so deplorable. And we moved him out of that apartment into an apartment in Lynchburg. And then, so that light went off, that's the connection I felt with Judson. And anyway, so I'm collecting furniture. There's a little bit of an appeal. He has nothing. He's in a boarding house. He's in a cold room. He literally says, when we looked at the apartment, he said, I can stretch out my arms and I don't feel the walls. Aww. Because that's where he lives right now. So anyway, we're looking for beds and little few things, but that's what I've been growing lately, and it's really been fun.
Thanks, Stacy.
Well, our garden is rich with growth. First of all, Steve and I have peppered seeds of applications all over this place. And so we're hoping that one of those will sprout and grow into a great job paying lots of money. Yeah. So that's one thing that's going on. And then Mom and Dad, John and Harriet Moore, are beginning a new journey. They're moving to from their current living situation into a new one, which will take them to what's it called?
Assisted living.
Yes, so that's exciting because they will release the burden of having to care for a household and do the shopping and all of that, and they're going to a place where all that will be done for them, and then they can commune and have community around them and have more support. So that's really an exciting journey. So this has been in the garden for a while, and it's been watered for a while, and now it's coming to fruition. So we're excited about that, and we may have furniture for you.
So I feel like I'm tearing out weeds and getting the ground even ready to even think about planting stuff. The place I work is a living room. It is a house. It is warm. It is welcoming for the folks that stay there for crisis stabilization. And it is closing because they're going to build a bigger, brighter, more medical, more involuntary people way out in Prince William. And I just mourn the loss. At the same time, I want to celebrate the seeds that are being planted around Recovery Cafe in Southeast. It is a dream that of radical hospitality where people are covenanting in community over a long period of time. I've sent a couple of people there from our place that were DC residents and said, guys, you gotta check out 2419 Minnesota Avenue. And they have a dream to expand and be able to nurture more people to a committed belonging. It's a real way to do church. So I just am excited about that. I feel a little bit grandmotherly in that role. But as far as Arlington goes, I do kind of hope that somewhere in that soil, there is some fertile ground for this the living room milieu, so to speak. Some support around people that just need a respite. And not just to lock them up in hospitals, please. So that is my wish, longing, and I hope it comes to fruition.
I think it's wonderful that God is so patient. I am aware that God is calling me to do more with my work with photography in the Arctic, and yet I lack courage. I think, well, no one wants to listen, no one cares. And I, in the face of, despite all of those doubts, I pray that God is tending the seeds of desire and hope in me for the people and the wildlife in the Arctic. And I pray for courage.
But I thank God that a long time ago I wouldn't be doing it, but I've been helping the homeless and everything. And one lady, I just took her to, she was homeless, but she got her own apartment right now. And I took her to Subway where she can have something, get her something to eat, and she appreciated it. Now she's doing much better. Okay, in the name of Jesus, putting more faith, you know, something a long time ago I probably wouldn't be doing it. But God got me closer, you know, get closer to God and everything. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Mead spoke about weeding and getting the garden just ready to plant. And I feel like we've all been watching, participating, weeding, watching other people weeding, as for the last number of months, Eighth Day has gone through a period of discernment to understand what's next, what growth is next. And I really feel like with the recent meeting where things are really starting to come together and there's finally a clear plan around how we can grow and take the next step and celebrate our 40 whatever years, but understand that things need to be different going forward. And I really feel blessed to be watching finally things sprouting from all the weeding and preparation that's been going on for a number of months. So that is my thought. I also, Emily's thoughts made me think about my one of my favorite pieces in all of Broadway and opera is the final part of Leonard Bernstein's Candide. We'll build our house and chop our wood and make our garden grow. And, you know, I feel like that's what we're kind of doing. And I would sing it, but that's probably a little bit too much. So we'll build our house and chop our wood and make our garden grow. And that's, it goes on and on. But anyway.
Thank you. Thanks, Kevin. That's beautiful.
Well, I should sing too, huh?
Yes.
Be quite a difference, unfortunately. So I am sort of watering a seed that David Hilfinger planted last spring when Bridges in a Democracy. And from that came a group, and we are still going on. And cultivating democracy, meaning people have voices in all different ways, but particularly politically, and the virtues of tolerance and forbearance. And so one thing that we are doing as our first effort is sponsoring a workshop in creative conversations. And what's that like? I mean, how do you speak to a person and not try to convince them, but try to understand who they are, where they come from? That's very central to the Christian ethic of love. And love in being both being present to yourself and to others, a sense of being, but also a sense of going out and listening and being open to somebody very different from you and your ideas, and how important that is to do. So that's coming up in March.
We're almost being over water here.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm reminded that beginning, you can't see anything. The plants underground, and you're hoping, but.
So the plant's there. You have a little bit of faith because it's happened before, but you really can't see, and it's also happened before that the plants haven't come up. What I've been doing for quite a while is that when new people come into the church, I try to go up and meet and spend some time talking with them. For some of those folks, our relationship continues for quite a while. I always enjoy those relationships, but whether there's any growth going on, I don't know. I make some assumptions, but who knows? But I'm hoping and trying.
So people that know how I live know that I live a pretty task-driven life, and I do lots of stuff. And I like doing that because I feel competent doing that, and it feels good for me. What I feel called, sorry, I didn't know I was going to get emotional. What I feel called to is, or I think God is calling me to do, is to be more in relationship with people. Because the more tasks I do, the less, I mean, that takes up my day. People make me tired. It's hard for me to be with people a long time because and my Enneagram and my Myers-Briggs confirm that I'm the kind of person that really likes to spend time by myself. So I have this completely task-driven life, And now I feel this pressure to be in relationship. And it feels like pressure. It's call, it's pressure. But I'm trying to act on that. But what that means is that I can't get all my stuff done, or how do I get it done? And so I think part of it is pulling up weeds and figuring out what I don't do and how to make space. And since it's hard, it means a lot of space. So today's Benjamin's birthday, and yesterday he went and he gave a, this is my youngest son, he's 26, he gave a concert, and he called me up and he asked me to go, and I was like, all right, well, it was a text, so it wasn't a call, so he didn't see that, all right. And, you know, I was working all day yesterday, and I worked up, and then my two grandkids came over, because Jeremiah's little sister is now my grandchild. She calls me Grandma. And then Ernesto, and so we all went over there, and he was just so pleased. He just was just, you could just see it. You know, I was there, the kids were there, Ernesto was there, his girlfriend was there, the girlfriend's mother was there. And then he kind of told the story of his life, which ended with hope, and you can be whoever you're meant to be. And it was just an honor to see that performance. And I was thinking, you know, I wanted to sit and do my accounting. And I was going to miss this. So I don't know how this is going to develop. I think it might, I don't know, it means I have to kind of rearrange everything. And I don't know if I'm going to like it very much, frankly. But let's see what happens.
Maybe Chriselli will share, and then if there's like one other person afterwards, and then we'll,
mine is also pretty literal. I'm not pregnant, Mead. No. It's best to clear that up now. It's such a unique time to get to grow a human with my own flesh. Like, it's wild. But also in doing that, I'm realizing how much I need to tend to myself and make sure that I am watering and letting myself be watered and tended to. Yeah, that's what came to mind for me. So thank you for that invitation, Emily.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, talking about being literal, I have been recently reminded of the wonder of alfalfa seeds. No patience required. I can grow vegetables in my kitchen and just marvel at how they sprout in about 1.5 days. You can see the little white things sticking out of there. And in about 5 days, kind of depends a little on the temperature of the room, I have vegetables in my own kitchen and I do nothing. I mean, it's just, well, I rinse them every day. Just rinse them every day, once. And God gives the growth, and I just marvel at it.
Okay. Thank you. I think if there's someone else who has a really burning desire to share something, please let me know. But otherwise, we'll close it out. Thank you all for sharing. That was very rich and powerful. I really. It's always honor to be able to listen to each other, be so vulnerable. So thank you. We are his God servants and gardeners in literal and non-literal ways. And it makes me think that he doesn't really need us, but wants us to be part of the life that is being created. And that's the way that it works the best, that's the way it's designed. And then the growth happens in us as well as in others. So I'll just close with this brief, beautiful poem by St. Francis of Assisi called The Result of Prayer. The result of prayer is life. Prayer irrigates the earth and heart.